We're back to the Neil Haley Show. My guest today is Jay Wasley. We all know him from Discovery's Ghost Hunters, House Calls. How are you, Jay? And you know what, man? How did it happen, man? How did you hook up to get this amazing gig that's probably transformed your life in so many ways?
It's been a very untraditional evolution the whole time. So originally, to go way back, I've been with the show 14 years now. And originally I worked in film and television as a camera guy, sound guy, producer, director. That's what I did as a career. And Ghost Adventures started, they were in their second year. They got picked up for more episodes, but they used to hire a local sound guy wherever they would go. So, and if you watch the show, you've seen sometimes you're in the middle of nowhere in an abandoned town.
Like there's not really a talent pool to draw,
you know, professional crew from. So they started having issues that occasionally, and they decide they're going to bring on a full-time sound guy. And then I got the call. It was literally just a phone call to be like, hey, we got a gig for you. You know, fly out to Vegas, go do sound for the show Ghost Adventures. And I was like, okay, let's do it. It was just a gig for me at first, and then went out there and, you know, they kept bringing me back. And we shoot every other week. A lot of TV shows, if you don't know how it works, usually they'll shoot like a whole season in like a month or two, and then you're off for the rest of the year. Ghost Adventures hasn't been like that. We've literally shot every other week. I mean, with me, it's 14 years now. We don't take breaks. You know, obviously we'll maybe get an extra week or two off around Christmas time, the holidays, things like that. But we shoot nonstop all year round. So I became the regular sound guy. And after about a year, and it's a small crew. We don't have, you know, a big television crew. We have people that help us. We have a couple camera people. But when we investigate, it's just the four of us. And then back in the day, it was just the three of them. And I was just the sound guy. But then Zach would, becoming friends, he would be like, hey, you know, we got this evidence. Check this out from the last shoot. And then I would start throwing out ideas like you can do an analysis of a voice and kind of get a basically a fingerprint of a voice and then compare it to a sample. And then he's like, you can do that? I'm like, yeah, of course. I'm a tech nerd guy. That's what I do. And then he's like, well, we'll have you do that. And he started bringing me in front of camera to start doing more analysis, experiments, things like that. And then it basically evolved from there and then became a full-time investigator, you know, co-star of the show, and then stopped doing sound and kind of took over cinematography duties. You know, I have a co-cinematographer, Lauren Murphy, who's great, and she kind of handles most of it now. But it's still, you know, I still help develop and keep that consistent look of the show.
So you kind of went from, I mean, that's got to be a crazy schedule. That's traveling worse than the days of certain professional wrestlers in the old time. I'm a former pro wrestler, and I would work almost every night when I lived down south in Tennessee, where we go from small town to small town to small town and just keep working and doing TV. And it was crazy. And you didn't know what day, what day and all that stuff. And how do you guys keep finding these cool haunted places to go? It's got to be a lot of research involved, right?
We have researchers that work for us full time that will kind of, you know, find places. But honestly, a lot of it's also social media now. We have such a huge fan base, such a following that like every day I could probably go into like my messages right now on Instagram and find five locations that somebody in some town's like, oh, you got to check out this. There's this old hotel or this house and this, you know, so we get tips from people all the time. And then we will pass those to our researchers and then they kind of narrow it down to ones that might be good for the show. And then ultimately Zach goes through it and he makes the final call.
Zach is absolutely a genius to get people to be so engaged in this and to be really scared.
And it's, I watched it's his baby. The show.
And he's just, and at first, you know, I'm sure he didn't think this growth. You didn't think this growth. Now you guys are rock stars everywhere you go. It's got to feel awesome. And where to go next from what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. We still have a lot more left. You know, we're still doing them, and you know, there's still so much more we got on the, you know, on board on the schedule to do. And you know, we all love it. Like we're the same thing. There's moments where we're like, oh man, like, how much longer can we do? And then it's like, oh, let's just keep going. We love it and we're down to keep doing it. You know, as long as the fan base and everyone's happy with it, we'll keep doing it. And, you know, I think it's become where it's not just a TV show. It's not just a production. Like it is our lives at this point, you know, and it'd be weird. I can't imagine doing anything else.
When you first got locked inside for one night, how scary was it for you?
Oh, it's terrifying. It was terrifying then. It's still terrifying to this day, you know, I don't think that ever goes away. You know, you learn more, which sometimes makes it worse, you know, sometimes helps, but it's still terrifying just as the first time.
And you never know who's going to get accidentally injured or something happening. I'm sure those disclosures you're signing every time.
Oh, no, I mean, I'll tell you straight. I've broken a rib.
Right before summer, I dislocated my ankle, you know, went full 90 degrees sideways. I've fallen down a hill and landed on a cinder block that broke my rib. One time in the dark, Aaron like bumped into me. It was kind of like a Scooby-Doo moment. We're scared and like it's pitch black too. That's the thing. You're running around pitch black in abandoned buildings. You're going to fall. You're going to bump into things. And he just plowed into me and it pushed me back. And there was like a metal, we were in a prison and it like a metal like food tray thing that they would put on. And I just caught the corner right in the middle of the back. It ripped through my jacket, ripped through my shirt, like ripped, you know, a nice little gash in my back. And that definitely messed me up for a while. But it's still, I keep going. You know, I go home, basically ice up, do laundry, and then get ready to go out in the next one.
How much do you think social media has to do with your huge rise? Because think about it, you know, now cable television is slowly but surely going to the dinosaurs with streaming. You know that, and I know that, you know, people do recognize still from television, but you had that television boost, now it's streaming. Social media, you constantly have to one up things, right? To keep your followers engaged and everything, but your community is what keeps you growing more and more.
Absolutely. 100%. I think our fan base is,
you know, it's weird because I grew up loving, you know, I love, you know, wrestling, WWF, and like the fans, and you know, anything that's been going on and successful, it's because of the fans, you know. And everywhere we go, like, it's amazing, like the love we get from people and the stories. I remember there was a point way early on where I kind of had a, you know, a finding myself moment of being like, is this what I really want to do? Like, am I meant to be something better? Like, I want to help people, I want to be able to make a difference in the world. And like, am I doing it just working on a TV show? And then I started meeting fans and they would tell us that like, your show gives us hope. Your show's given us, like, we lost our grandma, and watching your show gives us comfort knowing that there's more to this life. Or, you know, our family hates each other, but we still get together every night and watches Ghost Adventures together. So like, once I started realizing that and like the power and the reach that we've had and how our fan base has come together, it made me realize like, wow, like this is really a powerful, beautiful thing. You know, on a much larger scale than just a TV show.
Absolutely. You guys used the television to catapult. You saw social media at a time when it was easy to grow the social media. Not anymore. It's a lot harder. Mm-hmm. Followers don't matter as much as, you know, you got to keep one upping with content. And then you just keep finding unbelievable places. But I think that the community of people who love discovery, they love History Channel, they love this fright experience that, you know, the paranormal, the ghosts are so popular, and you guys are on top. Then if it's the only way, you keep staying on top, it'll keep growing, and you never know the next thing. A full-length feature film coming?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. We play around with it. We're always looking into new things. And I think that's one of the things, and what I love about, you know, originally Travel Channel, now Discovery, is that they've always given us 100% creative control. You know, like, I've worked in television, I've seen behind the scenes. I know, you know, you get producers whispering in your ears, things like that, the network telling you what to do. That's never happened with Ghost Adventures since day one. And I remember when I was just the sound guy, I remember working an episode and watching that episode come out. And I was like, wow, that's what really happened. That's legit. That's the flow of things. It's not manipulated. It's not twisted. Like, that's what really happened. And I remember being
taken back. I'm like, wow, this is unique. This is not a normal TV show, because, you know, most TV shows are overproduced and twisted and things. And I was really impressed by how, you know, authentic it was.
Right.
And I think that that's what drew me into it more and let me feel comfortable to literally become my life. You know?
You never thought on camera you'd be on camera, right? This is not what you trained for at all. You were training behind the camera.
Exactly.
Not the camera.
Yeah.
You're on camera, all these different things. So a bunch of new episodes coming up, you know, April 10th, April 18th, 25th, May 1st, and May 8th, different areas. Shasta, Lake Emergency. Where's that located? Just to kind of...
So that's near Shasta Lake, California. And that one...
It's funny you mentioned that one first, because that's one that probably sticks in my head the most. It was it's a unique experience. And doing this so much, there's times where I'm like, all right, we've experienced all. We've seen it. We've seen this. We've seen things go flying. We've witnessed apparitions. We've witnessed exorcisms, possessions, rituals, all kinds of things. So it's like, what else could be shocking to us, you know, at least? What else can we see that's new? And that Shasta Lake episode, as soon as we walked into this house, and what was interesting is the house was, it was the first responders that lived there. So they're very credible. They're very tough people, like to be able to do what they do, you know? So we went in there, and as soon as I crossed the threshold of the house, I became violently ill, like just almost instantly. And I was just like, this isn't right. And I'm not like that. I'm not psychic. I feel like I could feel things doing this long enough. You're kind of aware of things. You kind of notice how your body reacts to certain things, but like, I'm never one to be like, oh, I'm psychic or anything like that. But this hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was just like, man, I don't know if I can do this. And then the woman in the house starts telling us like, oh yeah, that's what I feel almost every day. Like it hits you and it does this. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm feeling. It got so bad. I had to actually go outside, and I was like sitting in the SUV for a while. And I was like, man, like, I don't know if I could do this. I might just need to go back to the hotel and call it quits on this one. And, you know, literally just walk through the door, and, you know, I was able to keep going. Whether that's a smart idea or not, who knows? Like, I keep going because I love what I do. And, you know, I'm going to keep going as much as I can, and literally until I drop. And then there was a moment where, you know, we're trying to give her a cleansing, and she comes up to me during the cleansing. She grabs my shoulder and she says something. I forget what it was, but it felt very cryptic and weird. And I was just like, what? And you can see on camera, like, and we feel like this is a moment which was ever affecting her, like moved on to me. And then from there, it just got worse for me. I just started feeling even worse. And then ultimately, it ends up with a moment. I'm not going to spoil it too much, but I keep investigating as much as I can. I take little breaks because it was rough. And we capture some amazing visual evidence next to me. And right as that happens, this figure appears. And my body just has a full-on physical reaction that I never experienced before. It was like something out of like a horror movie, honestly. And that's
every time, every time this happens, no doubt, for sure. Okay. Everyone needs to tune in again. You know, every week, new episodes, but you can watch you guys 24/7 on Discovery Channel. You know that. And I know that. Discovery Ghost Adventures House Calls. Jay, appreciate it, man. Everyone needs to tune in April 10th to see you get violently ill. I will be tuning in as well. And I appreciate you stopping by.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.